Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this meditation is found recorded in the second book of Kings, chapter 6, verses 8 to 17. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servant, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." And the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is praised by a multitude of angel hosts, and who sends his angels to watch over us, dear fellow redeemed. One of the reasons so many people find it hard to endure this time of the coronavirus is because they are looking at it from a human perspective. They're seeing it from an earthly view. And that's natural. We look at history from a human perspective. When we look at events from the eyes of secular human history, we see one thing. But when we look at events of history from a different perspective, from God's perspective, we see something totally different. And there's no text in Scripture that so clearly demonstrates that taking place than our text today. From our text, we find viewing life from God's perspective means having opened eyes to see God's unseen army. In our modern day, with satellites and listening devices, it's not very hard for our armies to find terrorists hiding in caves or even hear what they're saying from miles away. But that's not what God did in finding out what the king of Syria was doing in thwarting his plans from trying to attack Israel. He used his omniscience. He knew what the king of Syria was planning in his head, and he could hear what he was saying. And in some miraculous way, the Lord God transferred that to the prophet Elisha. So, whenever the king of Syria sent his men secretly to attack a certain place in Israel, Israel was already there. Because Elisha had told the king this was coming, and they prepared for it. Of course, the king naturally thought one of his men was a traitor, guilty of treason. And so he called his generals and he said, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" But it was not a man that was revealing these secrets. It was God. Somehow the Syrian king officers, though, heard about Elisha and knew about this. And so he said to the king, "None, my lord, O king." In other words, none of us, lord, or master, king, we're not guilty. We're not traitors. But Elisha, the prophet who's in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Now, these officers probably knew that they were up against a power far greater than they were. And king of Syria may have felt the same thing. But in his spiritual blindness, it didn't stop him. He planned to go and capture Elisha and stop this from happening. How foolish. If Elijah knew his secret plans of attacking Israel, wouldn't it logically be that he would also know this plan to come and arrest him? But that didn't stop him in his blindness of unbelief. And so we're told, he said, "Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city." Like a good field general, he didn't leave anything to chance. Perhaps he had already known about history repeating itself. Some years earlier, the king of Israel, Ahaziah, wanted to go and arrest Elijah, Elisha's predecessor. And so the king of Israel sent 50 men to go to arrest Elijah. What happened? Fire came down from heaven and consumed them all. So the king sent 50 more men to arrest Elijah. The same thing occurred. God protected his prophet. So now the king of Syria thinks, "Well, I'm no dummy. I'm not going to send 50 men. I'm going to send hundreds, thousands of men. I'm going to surround the whole city. There's no way that Elisha can escape. And God won't be able to protect his prophet this time," he thought. You see the folly? Man thinks the greater numbers can stop God. But with God, whether there are 50 or 50 million against him, it makes no difference at all. But it surely did make a difference to Elisha's young servant. Because that morning he woke up, he walked out to the window, and he looked out over the valley, and he saw horses, chariots, and possibly hundreds, if not thousands, of enemy soldiers surrounding the city. And he despaired. In panic, he cried out to Elisha, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" This servant forgot the Lord had been with his prophet in so many dire straits, in so many inescapable situations, in so many grim encounters. He lacked the eyes of faith to see the unseen army surrounding and protecting him and Elisha. He did not view life from God's perspective. Isn't that true of every single one of us? Be the problem big or small, life-threatening or life-changing, so often we first despair when we cry out, "Alas, Lord, what can I do about this?" Our children become ill. We get diagnosed with cancer. We're afraid of contracting COVID-19. And we panic. We're in danger of losing our job. Or the economy is failing. And our heart is full of fear. We fall behind financially. We wring our hands with worry. Troubles and trials beset us, and we quickly despair. With spiritually blind eyes, we too have looked at the many, many troubles and trials and problems that surround us, and we do not see God's protection and God's deliverance. So what does God do? He has to come to us and say the same thing that Elisha said to his servant: "Do not fear." How many times Have you read that in the Bible? Those words, do not fear, do not be afraid. The angel said it to the shepherds when they're out in the fields announcing the birth of Jesus. The angel said it to the women, the empty tomb, announcing the resurrection of Jesus. And how many times did Jesus not say to his disciples, do not be afraid? And yet, our timid, fear-filled, often spiritually blind heart looks at this world from our own human perspective, and then it's scary. And then we're filled with fear. For we are really surrounded by a lot of dangers every day of our life. Not just the coronavirus, but a multitude of other diseases, accidents, heart attacks, death, weather disasters, financial loss, government economic failure, nuclear war. How about terrorist attacks? Environmental problems. The list of calamities and dangers could go on and on and on. From man's perspective, the odds are not in our favor. And if you get through life without cancer or some other illness, well, then you're lucky. Knock on wood. If you're able to relatively live free from misfortune and calamities, well, then you got the breaks. And if you live to be a ripe old age, then fate was good to you and smiled on you. But for the child of God, the believer in Jesus Christ, we look at life from God's perspective. There's no luck in this world. There's no blind fate to which we're all prisoners. No, there's a loving Heavenly Father who takes care of us, who guides us, who's like the shepherd taking care of his little lambs, guiding, guarding, protecting, feeding us day by day. And many times he does so with his unseen army of angels. Elisha said to his servant, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then he offered a prayer to God. "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And in answer to his prayer, the Lord God opened the eyes of the servant so he could see things that normally could not be seen. We're told, "And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." What an amazing sight that must have been. We can almost picture that young man's eyes wide open and bulging as he saw what normally you can see. The whole hillside, valley, full of angels protecting them. The scriptures are full of references to these messengers, these servants of God. Abraham, angels appeared to Abraham, appeared to Jacob, rescued Lot and his family from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. In Psalm 34, we read, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them." In Psalm 91, we read, "For he shall send his angels," or give his angels charge over you, "to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Daniel was protected by angels when he was in the lion's den. An angel guided Mary and Joseph from Bethlehem to Egypt when Herod wanted to kill the baby Jesus. In our second scripture reading, we heard of an angel miraculously setting Peter free from prison. And if you read a few chapters earlier, you see the very same thing happened, only with several of the apostles who had been arrested and in prison. And the angel did the same thing, and the doors just opened, and their chains fall off, and they were set free. In Matthew 18:10, Jesus says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." In the book of Hebrews, we're told that angels are ministering spirits, that is, servants of the Lord, who are to serve those who inherit salvation, meaning the believers in Christ. We're told that these angels rejoice every time a sinner repents and when someone is brought to faith in Jesus. Angels were at some of the most important things that happened in Jesus' life. Angels were there at the announcement of his incarnation with Mary. Angels were there, as we heard, at his birth. Angels were there at his resurrection. An angel was there when Jesus ascended into heaven and said, he will come back again. And when Jesus comes again, he'll come with all of his angels on that last great day of judgment. So what about us? Can we look back now on our life and see God's active protection, his active presence in helping us, possibly with an unseen army of angels? Or have we just been going through life, passing off those situations as a lucky break, a chance happening, a close call, or simply fate? One man wrote, "The clearer sight we have of the power of heaven, the less we fear the calamities of this earth." We should indeed thank our Heavenly Father for sending his angels to protect, defend, and provide for our welfare. And this they do every single day of our lives, without any fanfare, without any recognition, without even knowing about it. May we daily view our life from God's perspective. But we should never give the honor and worship due to God, to the angels. They still remain God's created beings, his spiritual beings. One of the angels said this to the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, when he had fallen down and began to worship him, the angel said, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." How often we worry. How often we doubt. How often we despair. How often we fret. As we still are basking in the good news that we heard 2 weeks ago, the good news of our Savior's resurrection from the dead, that we have a living, ever-living, risen Savior who watches over us, we can replace all of our worries, all of our fears, all of our cares, all of our doubt, all of our despair with joy, with confidence, with rejoicing in a resurrected Lord. He has saved us. Saved us from our sins, closed the door to hell, conquered death, destroyed Satan's power over us. Heaven is ours. Eternal life is secured to us. But also in our everyday lives, our ever-living Savior sends his holy angels to watch over us and to protect us from harm and danger. May our eyes of faith remain open to our Father's goodness, open to his forgiving love through his Son, our Savior Jesus, and open to be able to see spiritually the unseen powerful angels who watch over us. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.